CSN International presents To Every Man an Answer, the live apologetics program that equips you to give a reason for the hope that lies within you.
If you have a Bible question or a question on the Christian faith, you can call us at 1-888-827-5276. Again, that's 1-888-ASK-CSN.
Let's get things started. Here's today's host, Mike Kessler.
Hi, and welcome to Monday's edition of To Every Man an Answer. We're glad you've joined us. Looking forward to being with you for about the next hour as we get together every weekday afternoon at this time, answering questions about the Bible from the Bible, look at current events through a biblical perspective, and what we hear in church, is it even in the Bible at all? And so we once again want to encourage you to give us a call. And again, we'll do our very best as perhaps you've been reading your Bible, come across something you don't understand, someone's asked you a question. Well, that's why we're here for you. And we'll try to tell you what the Bible really says. Not a piece of a verse or an idea or a church dogma, but rather, what does the Bible really say about that? That number to call again, toll free, 888-ASK-CSN. You can call. We got some lines open. You're assured to get on the air if you call right now. Joining me today, special guest, featured CSN speaker, comes on 1 hour before To Every Man an Answer. We have with us Mike Fabares, Compass Bible Church, Alicia Viejo, California, down in San Clemente. Hi and welcome.
Hello. It's great to be with you, Mike. It's great to be on today.
It's always good to have you with us. Boy, all kinds of crazy things going on in our world. Mike, how's the situation down there going? And understand President Trump came to visit with the mayor and the governor. How did that go? I haven't heard.
Well, it didn't go. It went how you might expect. Our very liberal L.A. politicians and our governor, it was like oil and water. They didn't get along very well, but everyone was civil and no fistfights broke out, so that was good.
That's really good. You know, I think it's funny because, you know, the American media, and they're laying off, literally, the liberal ones are laying off literally hundreds of people right now because America has lost faith in their news reporting. We've just been lied to too long. And now we're finding out, you know, all the illegal people that came to America, broke into our country illegally, getting a Social Security and all kinds of money and cell phones and crazy stuff. I mean, things that people in North Carolina didn't get, people in Lahaina, Hawaii didn't get when their city burnt down. But if you're illegal, you break in the country illegally, man, they'll put you in hotels, motels, whatever it is, buy a house, or maybe I should say, provide your housing for you, which again, the American citizens didn't get. Your thoughts, Mike? What days are we in?
Yeah, well, anytime you start giving out free things and you create the kind of social safety net that we have, it is so easy, I think, for politicians to use all of that to garner votes and create a voting bloc. And unfortunately, they've been very generous with our tax dollars that they confiscate from us every year. It's not good, and we should always be concerned about where our tax dollars go.
And you know, I just want to say shame on the American news media. I think a lot of these things you knew about, and you're deliberately trying to mislead America. And again, when these kinds of gross, negligent spending sprees were going on, you didn't report on it. You didn't tell the American people. You painted a rosy picture of everything is wonderful, when in fact we go farther and farther into debt. Trillions and trillions of dollars. Just since January 1st of last year till December of last year, just a month ago, we went $2 trillion more in debt. Wow, everybody. Do you know that's money that will never be repaid? It's too much money. We can't even now barely make the interest payment on the almost $37 trillion now that we're in debt. And so, you know, Mike, we had to come to a different governance because we are on the road to complete bankruptcy. Maybe that's what they were doing on purpose. Maybe that's why they let our borders be overran. Again, as I've shared so many times, the Roman Empire was never conquered. Its borders were overran. I wonder if they studied history to see this is how you bring down a nation. Financially bankrupt them, destroy the families, destroy whatever they can do, you know, spiritually speaking, to attack the church, let your borders be overran. The culture of the country breaks down. I don't know, Mike, you know, you've studied the Bible and also you've studied history as well. And looking at these things, your take?
Well, I definitely think they may have been the kind of useful idiots, as sometimes they will call them in literature, because Satan certainly does not like the United States. And this has been a bastion of at least a nation that has leaned to the righteous dictates of what the Bible says, and it's been blessed because of it. Go to D.C. and look at all of the inscriptions on all of our monuments. This was a nation that was founded on biblical principles, and I think, just like we read in the book of Daniel, I think the demons are very concerned about the United States, and while some of these people may not know exactly how the strategy of the enemy is using them to accomplish the destruction of the United States, we certainly see that all the dots seem to connect. And I do think there's a lot more to who we're wrestling with, as the Bible says, which isn't always flesh and blood. They are the tools that the enemy uses. But America is in a rough position, because I would just remind you that Satan is never for a nation where righteousness has exalted it. That's a nation Satan's got in his crosshairs.
So I believe, again, work for the night is coming. You know, we don't know how long we've got. We don't know when the rapture is. And even though we're enjoying freedoms now, we know we have a lot of enemies around the world. Allowing North Korea, Iran to have nuclear weapons, which the United States did, especially the United States in Iran, really doing everything America could do to make sure they got nuclear weapons by removing the sanctions on Iran to keep them under control, because they said now they're just months away from having a full-on nuclear weapon. And so, you know, I really believe we have to work for the night's coming. Don't ever be lulled into things saying, oh, you know, we got a new president, everything's going to be peaches and cream or whatever it might be. Everything's going to blow up, whatever, however you view this. But we have a biblical obligation to preach the gospel. Let people know that there is a coming global judgment. And I believe, again, as in the days of Noah were, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. Matthew chapter 24 tells us they were eating, drinking, marrying, given in marriage until Noah and his family went into the ark. And then the Bible says a global judgment came. I believe today it's the same thing. People are eating, drinking, given in marriage. They don't realize they're on the cusp of a global judgment. But God has provided a way out of that global judgment, called the rapture of the church, his bride. And I pray every person listening has prayed and asked Christ into their life, repented of their foolish way they've lived before they came to Jesus, and from now on, you're doing what you do for God. Because, again, those are the things that are going to last through history. To the phones we go. We have Jeffrey on the line, Mineral Wells, Texas. Hi, and welcome.
Hey, good afternoon. And Brother Fermarez, I call into your show occasionally as well. I have a real quick question regarding the marriage supper of the Lamb. And I had just kind of always felt like I was taught and understood that the marriage supper of the Lamb would occur, basically covering the greatest part of the span of the 7 years of tribulation in which we will be in heaven. But as I read Revelation the other day, and I'm reading Revelation 19, it really appears to me that the marriage supper of the Lamb would be at the end of the tribulation, after all of the seals and the trumpets and the bowls and the churches, the sort of the saints, I guess, the tribulation saints and the church age saints are all together, and then the marriage supper of the Lamb would occur, because just literally the next two or three verses right after that, and here we are coming back with Christ as he's taking care of business. And we'd like to know what your thoughts are on that.
Well, it says that, and I'll just read it, Revelation 19, it says, verse 9, right, blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, these are the true sayings of God. Now, that doesn't say that is when the marriage supper of the Lamb is. It's saying blessed are those that were called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And a lot of people mix this up because, again, there is a reward for those that diligently seek him. Jesus said, behold, I come quickly. Here it is, reward is with me. And so I believe, again, that that marriage supper of the Lamb is during pretty much most of the tribulation period. It's going to be a great time in heaven. Again, it just says, blessed are those that are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And so I really believe that it's not giving a chronological date here as much as a reminder that, behold, my reward is with me. Your thoughts, Mike?
Yeah, and I agree. There is some ambiguity about this, but just remember that the cultural illustration of a marriage supper is a little different than what we're used to when we have a ceremony, and then right after that we have a reception, and it's all done in an evening. The marriage supper in a cultural Jewish context lasts for a long time. It could last for many days. And so we have to have, if we look at the analogy, and I don't know how cleanly we should segment these things, but certainly we're in the period now of the Christ being betrothed to the church. There's the presentation, I believe, of the church to the bridegroom at the rapture, when now we have resurrected bodies before the throne of those who have gone before us and ourselves, if we happen to be here and it starts tonight. That's the presentation stage where we are now preparing, and it may include the Bema Seat judgment. And then I think there are some commentators that would say the supper itself is going to extend into the millennial kingdom. But I just don't think we have enough information to cleanly block these things in periods of time, other than to say, yes, if someone asked me in a service, do I think the marriage supper of the Lamb is going to happen during the tribulational period in heaven? I think yes. I would say yes, part of it at least, if not all of it. And yet, I'm going to have to guess with some of these other elements. When is the Bema Seat judgment for the church? Probably during that same period. But will this spill into the millennial kingdom? I think it perhaps will.
Yeah, because I understand the concern. Because if we go back to verse 7 as an example, let us be glad, rejoice, give him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife has made herself ready. And to her it was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright, for the fine linen of the righteous acts of the saint. And then it, again, goes back to what we read earlier. Blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. So understanding that, I believe that, again, we find, and this is why we get the date the way it is. Go to verse 11, I saw heavens open, behold the white horse. He who sat on him was called faithful and true. In righteousness he judges and makes war. This is at the end of the tribulation period. So somewhere during, it appears during the tribulation period, this is when the marriage supper of the Lamb is. And I Mike, any other thoughts on that?
Yeah, no, I think you are explaining some of the interesting aspects of it. And as I said, I just think we have to be open to various stages of the marriage supper of the Lamb, starting and continuing and maybe even fulfilling in the millennial kingdom.
Hope that helps.
Yeah, it does. That's what I was looking back at, is that chapter, or verse 7, rather, where it says the marriage the marriage has come, and as though it's presenting itself at that time, which was after the...
The tense of that particular verb, erkomai, which means to come, it's not in any emphatic mood. It's in the aorist tense, which is the most generic, simple tense. So it's not as though it's saying it's starting right now, but that it is come. It's come in a simple reference, and it could include the entirety of what's going on in heaven during the tribulational period. And it could mean that, you know, here is another stage of this happening right now. And I've got to look at the grammar of that. Has come, at least in English, it seems like it's in the perfect tense, like in the past. But it's not an announcement of it is beginning. That's not the way that I would read that. So I don't think we can read too much even into what the Greek New Testament is telling us here, because it's a simple reference of the aorist tense, which is the most generic and vanilla tense that we have in the Greek New Testament.
Hope that helps. Jeffrey, stay online. We'll get you taken care of. Thanks so much for the call. If you got any more questions, please call us back. Let's go to Vic, Missouri. Hi, welcome.
I was wondering, in the 8th chapter of Acts, I believe it is, where Philip baptizes the Ethiopian eunuch.
Yes.
Is that Philip the apostle?
Mike, your thoughts? No, I believe
no, he's Philip the deacon.
Philip was one of the deacons that
correct.
Was appointed. It just goes to show that as they went and began their taking care of the women, they were appointed with Stephen and the others. God blessed their ministry, and it became very, very prominent. And it is interesting to me that God spoke to Philip to leave a thriving ministry that he had and go down to the desert. You know, we often think that God's advancements are it's going to be bigger, heavier, more parts. But in fact, when God directed him to leave his great ministry to go down and join himself to a chariot with an Ethiopian eunuch in it, he said, join yourself. And the Bible says he ran to join himself. You know, he was eager to do what God wanted him to do. But that Ethiopian eunuch took the gospel back to Africa. Your thoughts?
Yeah, he's called elsewhere Philip the Evangelist later in the book of Acts. I think it's in chapter 21, but it's not Philip of the 12 that is listed as an apostle. This is a different Philip.
Hope that helps.
What happened to Philip the apostle then? I don't see where he was, where he wasn't, where I didn't see where there was a different Philip named.
Mike?
Yeah, I'd have to quickly look up what information we actually have about Philip. I'm looking real quickly at some of the things that I've written in the past. There are several that we don't have information on.
Is that Fox's Book of Martyrs? I can't remember.
Yeah, I'm trying to look real quick to see if I have any notes on Philip outside of the Gospels, and I don't see that. But I don't want to be emphatic in that. I'd have to do a little homework on that question.
Yeah, we might try to look that up when we come to the break, and Vic will fill in the details if we have any more. Really good question. I want to thank you for your study there. But most Bible scholars conclude that the Philip that met the Ethiopian eunuch there in the book of Acts was one of the deacons that God just blessed and advanced. And really, I find, Mike, don't you, that this is really, in our training, this is how we raise up ministers. You know, we find Elijah and then Elisha coming alongside of him, helping him, and then took over for Elijah when the Lord took him home.
Yeah, that's right.
And I think in the church, oftentimes, people come into church and they instantly want to be something rather than having the pedigree to demonstrate that who they are really is a viable ministry. So in other words, you look at as an example, everybody's aware of Billy Graham, but when Billy Graham started, it wasn't like that. And so we understand that God builds in our ministries, and this is why the Bible says to lay hands on no man suddenly. And what that's talking about, the anointing or the authority to go out and represent Christ as a minister. When somebody comes and they say, well, I'm a minister, like, where did you get your ordination? Well, I got it off the internet, man, for $29.95. That's not what the Bible's talking about. Truly, ministries that are sent out, you gather the people of the church together, you lay hands on them, ask God to protect them, send them out that God would anoint their ministry with power. That's the way people are sent out. And unfortunately, today, people come out of Bible college and whammo, that does not necessarily make you anything. Mike, any last thoughts?
Yeah, well, let me just answer the original question and looking through some of the notes I have. Philip is one of the 12 apostles that we have conflicting information about through Eusebius and some other early historians. Most would agree that he died in Hierapolis, which is in Asia Minor, modern-day Turkey, and was martyred there. And we don't have the specifics that we can quote, because I'm reading different summations from different scholars that are looking at the historic information. But we have him dying somewhere in modern day Turkey in the old city, the ancient ruins of Hierapolis, near one of the old coastal cities. But we don't have much more than that. He's one of the ones that we just don't have. And there's a few others, Andrew and Bartholomew. There's some we just have legends about. There are others, of course, that we have much more information about than we do Philip. But yeah, deacons are important. And I would say this, if we don't have people in our churches that we're bringing up in roles of service that seasoned ministers are helping to train and bring along, we're in trouble. This is where Philip the evangelist in the book of Acts, in Acts 8, and later he's referred to as a great evangelist. He may not be in the circle of the 12, but he played a very important role. And in chapter 6, he's part of that deacon crew that is serving tables. And they're not just, you know, custodians here. They're people that people look up to as ministry leaders, people that you can model your life after. And we need that tier of leadership in the church. Obviously, they're working other jobs to provide for their families, but they have important roles within the church. And if we're not developing those young leaders, then we're in trouble, because some of those young leaders end up being great pastors and missionaries a few years down the road.
Mike, I forgive me if I'm wrong here, but I you know, as we look at those that were selected and list them there, we have Nicole, we have Philip, we have Stephen and others. Was it your study that talked about Nicole being the original Saint Nicholas? Was that you that talked about that?
He
went out and was gracious and giving things to people and things like that?
No, in my study, and I did recently broadcast that here on CSN, I pegged that to a 4th century pastor, Nicholas, who was pastoring in the city of Myra. And so that's the one, although this is certainly a similar name and a connection etymologically to the name. But the one that the story grew up and many churches by the 10th century were named after, the Philip of the 4th century, who was a stalwart on biblical doctrine. He was a great pastor and was known for being generous and giving to people that needed money, because as a young man, he was orphaned and his parents were rich. And the story goes that he inherited a lot of their money and was able to, as a pastor, be very generous with the funds. And he had some gals that were going to be sold into prostitution, at least as the story goes. And he was able to give them money that they needed for a dowry so they did not have to sell their bodies in an immoral way. So he has definitely been hailed as a terrific leader. Not only that, but he went to the Council of Nicaea in the 4th century and stood up for the truth against Arius, the heretic that was saying that Jesus wasn't really God.
Which many of the cults today still say the same
still
thing.
Still do. That's
now,
right.
Now, very quickly, let's go a little bit further on this. On Nicole, that really that makes sense, because when we go to Revelation, Jesus talks about the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which he also hates. Nicole means priesthood over laity, Nicolaity, which over man. And God does not like priesthood over men. There's only one mediator between God and man, that's Christ Jesus. And so some believe that Nicole may have very well been the one that brought in that heresy of reestablishing a hierarchy over the people. Now, Mike, have you ever heard that?
Yeah, I've heard some theories about that, and I do think there's a lot that we need to dive into when we read about the Nicolaitans. But certainly the Roman Catholic Church, by the 4th century, started to tier this huge authority into the clergy and not only set a lot of unbiblical requirements for them to be in the clergy, but then invested them with power over the laity in a way that certainly all of us, I hope, as Protestant Christians would say is completely unbiblical.
So, hope that helps. Vic, thanks so much for the call.
Well, that explains why Philip had to call on Peter to bring the Holy Ghost to the Gentiles later on in that same chapter.
Right. Well, the Holy Spirit had already fallen, but it's something for a reason that Peter was called. And the Holy Spirit fell upon them. Now, I've had different people I've heard say, oh, no, it was the same thing as Acts chapter 2, only this was for the Gentiles. The Bible never teaches that. That is made up. For some reason, the Holy Spirit had not fallen upon them, and they were baptized in Jesus' name. They were believers, just as those that were in the upper room. But the Holy Spirit came upon those in the upper room there in Acts 2, and then Paul even says, as he's writing, he says, since you believe, have you been filled with the Spirit? Chapter 19 of Acts. So it seems to indicate there's a work of the Holy Spirit. I think sometimes people that get saved, maybe they get everything. They get the Holy Spirit at the time. Certainly that happened when Peter was preaching to the Gentiles. The Holy Spirit fell on them right in the middle of his sermon. But the Bible does seem to indicate there is a second work of God that empowers the believer. Hope that answers it for you. Stay online. We'll send you out some books, some DVDs coming up on a break. We'll have a whole lot more right after this. We'll be right back.
It's so easy to politicize abortion, but the reality is there's a precious life at stake, and that little life doesn't have a voice. All that little life has is a heartbeat, and it can be heard as early as 5 weeks on ultrasound. That's where Preborn steps in. Preborn is a voice for the little ones.
They do an ultrasound, and that's when everything changed. Because when I saw my baby, and when I heard her heartbeat, that was it.
Preborn Network of Clinics offers free ultrasounds to women in crisis while showering them with God's love. This powerful combination doubles a baby's chance at life and has helped rescue over 300,000 babies. To learn more about Preborn's life-saving work, call #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 baby, or visit preborn.com/CSN. That's preborn.com/CSN. All gifts are tax deductible.
Maybe you can relate to this. A lot of people can. They feel like their health care costs are just out of control. And if you're 65 or older, there's actually some great news about this. You can sign up for MediShare 65 Plus and save big in the new year. MediShare 65 Plus is a healthcare bill sharing community. It's trusted, it's faith-based, and it's saving people like you thousands on medical expenses. If you have Medicare Parts A and B, you know out-of-pocket expenses add up fast, but this gets things back under control and gives you peace of mind, too. With one low monthly price, saves you so much, and it's easy. You can use any Medicare-approved doctor. So find out why so many seniors are absolutely raving about MediShare 65 Plus. It's very different in a wonderful way. It's actually refreshing. They even offer to pray with you each time you call. Call now and find out more. It's 833-90-SHARE. That's 833-90-SHARE. 833-90-SHARE.
We want to welcome you back to part two of To Every Man an Answer on this Monday afternoon with Mike Fabares, Compass Bible Church. I'm your host, Mike Kessler. And Mike, so many things going on in the world. You know, to be about our Father's business is so important in these days. I do believe in, before we went on the air earlier, we were talking about time continuum. And this is actually out of the Bible where people say, all things remain as they are since our fathers fell asleep. But anything is farther, nothing is farther from the truth. Everything changes all the time. Everything changes even in our own lives every day. You can be on top of the world. Everything's going good. You find out your company's going broke. Now you're out of a job. You know, there's so many things that we want to put our hope, faith, and trust in other than God, because God is the only one that's consistent. And Mike, you know, I find that it isn't oftentimes until something crazy goes on that we realize that we can't trust the things of this world.
Yeah, well, that's true. And we need to be anchored in the truth of God's word that gives us a very linear timeline on where God is going. I mean, we should study the eschatology in Scripture, which is God's plan for how this all ends. And there's several things in the sequence of what God says. And if we don't live by that timeline, that's a map that shows us. Even Eastern religions talk about the cyclical nature of history. In reality, God has a plan from beginning to end, and what's great is it ends with the eternal state. I mean, really, everything between Genesis 3 and Revelation 19 is filled with all of the sinful realities that we know, and everyone shaking their fist at God. Why is all this happening? Well, it's moving toward a terminus. There is an end to all of this, and that's the end that we all should be praying for, as Jesus taught us to pray in Matthew 6, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We want that day to arrive, as the early church cried out in Aramaic. They would say, Maranatha. We want the Lord to come as the book of the Bible ends, right? Come quickly, Lord Jesus. That should be our cry. And everything as we move toward that terminus, right? Prophecies are being fulfilled, and we ought to read our Bibles and know that everything is right on schedule. And God says we're going to have a lot of wars and rumors of wars, but that's not quite the end yet. God's going to bring the end. It'll be clear. It'll come with cataclysmic events that are going to happen after the rapture of the church. And I think we're going to know for certain that God has brought human history as we know it, at least sinful human history, to an end.
Amen. So many things. Again, great your reward in heaven. Be sure to be laying up some treasure there. I think you'll be glad you did. Let's go to Leilani in Las Vegas. Hi and welcome.
Hi, Pastor. How are you guys?
Good, Leilani. How may we help?
My mother died January 10th. Thank you. We had a memorial service. She was cremated on Saturday. Mm-hmm. And my four siblings, who are atheists, came and spent the week, and they left yesterday. But before they left, my sister, her name is Abigail, and my brother Ronald went into the room where my mom's ashes were. And she turned around the corner down the hallway, and she raised up her hands to brace herself, and I was behind her, and I immediately grabbed her because she said she felt dizzy, like she was going to throw up, and she was going to lose her balance, and I held her tight, and I started praying, and I think she had an unclean spirit go over her because she started growling. She turned to me, and she growled, and she said, he hates you.
Mm. Wow.
And
Mike,
I just started praying the Lord's Prayer over her.
Yeah, well, we want you, Leilani, to know that greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world. And there may be lots going on, especially with those who reject God. And the spiritual work, as it says in Ephesians chapter 2, the spirit that's now at work in the sons of disobedience, it's active, certainly in driving Christians further and further away from the truth of the gospel. But we have an answer. We have a light that shines brighter than the darkness. And what you need, of course, is to confront your siblings with the truth of the gospel. And in this case, there's no spiritual incantation or special thing you do. It's the same thing you would do with a coworker to say you need to understand the truth of who God is and that Jesus Christ has been sent to deliver you from the bondage of sin. And so it's the same message. It may be done with a little more sweat in our palms when we know that there's a lot of activity that is frankly scary, but we want to lean into this with the truth. And if they will not receive the truth, right, there's nothing I can do with someone who's willingly gripping onto, hanging onto lies. And you're going to have to send your, even though they're family members, your efforts are going to have to be left. I can't shove the gospel down anyone's throat. I can only present it clearly in a way that is bold, as the Bible says it should be given. But you need to know that the gospel is powerful to break through any bond that the enemy might have. And so plead with your siblings. Don't be afraid. There's no fear that you should have. You're a child of the King, and you have the truth. And so we're not going to let fear make you stumble as you relate to your siblings. You just continue to be an ambassador for the truth of the gospel.
So again, Lalani, we're around, I think, demonic spirits all the time, and I think we need to be aware of that. Not everybody that acts weird has a demon or has a spirit, but certainly when it goes deep, and we see a complete change of behavior, I believe this is what we find. Now, remember, the man of Gadara had many devils in him, and he was violent, and he had a fascination with death. He lived in the tombs. But then we find in the book of Acts a woman who had a familiar spirit, and she could tell fortunes and make her owners rich by her ability to do so. Now, it doesn't say that she was a shrieking demoniac or anything, but there was something not right with her, just as there was something not right with the man of Gadara. And the effects of demon possession on human beings has many different manifestations. Again, sometimes supernatural things, telling fortunes. Other times, violence and a fascination with death. We find, people that couldn't hear. They were caused by spirits. So it is interesting to me, this gamut of demons' reactions when they move into somebody, these fallen spirits move into somebody, the manifestation that comes out in a person. And so I believe there are things that trigger these things. Now, again, the name of Jesus. And I would tell you, Lalani, when this is, I would just say, in the name of Jesus, who are you? And it's got to fess up. And if it says some name or whatever, in Jesus' name, out. That's what you got to do. Because people that are not born again do not have the supernatural protection of the Holy Spirit against this demonic activity that a believer does. This is one of the great things about being a Christian, is God, the Bible says, puts a hedge around us. Job, Satan mentioned this concerning Job. You put a hedge around him. Why is that? Because children of God have that protection, because he is our Father. But the problem is, when you have people that are not born again, they're open, and depending on what they've done, getting loaded, stoned, getting into the occult, Ouija boards, witchcraft, all that kind of stuff, I believe that these things can break down a person's a spirit, so these spirits move in. And so I think I wouldn't be surprised here if that's what it was, but never for any of us be scared to challenge it and say, in the name of Jesus, who are you? Because again, this is reality. And when it responds, Jesus is the answer. In the name of Jesus, leave. Now, it may come out immediately. You may have to pray for the person maybe 15, 20 minutes. And you may have to find that there may be more than one critter in that individual. I've seen this many times in my life. So you have to just take authority of that. But, you know, to let somebody sit there and growl at me, being a Christian, I realize that this is not normal behavior from one of my relatives, my sister, brother, whatever it is. There's something else driving this person. And when it goes deep, that's when I look for something other than just a person's quirky personality, but very possibly demonically inspired. I hope that helps, Lalani.
Thank you.
Don't be scared to take authority over the devil. Luke tells us that Jesus gave us power Jesus said to give to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing by any means shall hurt us. I think a lot of times people get scared that this person might hurt us. Hey, listen, you've got supernatural protection against demon-driven people. And I really believe that we have that authority in Christ. Any last thoughts, Mike?
No, I just think you've said it well. We need to not be afraid, Leilani. Got the truth of God's word. You've got God's spirit dwelling within you. Just deal with it directly and trust the Lord.
Leilani will be praying for you. And I'll send you some books and things, DVDs that perhaps you can get into your family's hands and just say, hey, watch this. Tell me what you think. Stay online. We'll get you taken care of, okay?
Thank you.
God bless you, dear. Let's pray for you real quick. Father, I just pray that you give our sister here wisdom in dealing with her family. In this time of great loss of her mother, I pray that you would allow that family to look to her as a point of guidance as she directs them to you. And so, Lord, we just ask you that that you would go and bind Satan from her family's eyes, that they would see that, Jesus, you're the answer, and that you would save them. And so give her the right words, the right heart. In Jesus' name, amen. Leilani, stay in line. We'll get you taken care of, okay?
Thank you.
God bless you, dear. If you need us, we're here for you. 8888. Ask CSN's the number call. If you want to be part of the program today, with that, we're going to go to Dale, Bakersfield, California. Hi, and welcome.
Hi.
Hi, how may we help? So, Dale, are you there?
I'm here.
All right. How can we help?
So I really wanted to make a comment about when you first commented about the $1 trillion.
Yeah.
Have you ever heard of the documentary by Chris Bauer's Agenda?
No. Mm-mm. Have you? Have
so,
you?
Yes, I watched it. It's very good. It talks about the book Naked Communists, which a guy wrote. He had 45 steps communists are taking using communists within America are using to take down America. And it wouldn't surprise me that making America go into debt would be one of the steps. I haven't read the book completely, but I've seen some of the steps. And Curtis Bauer's agenda, documentary agenda, talks about it and talks to other people. I showed it to another couple, and they said it was done very well. So I'm kind of partial to it. I think it's very good. After I watched it once and they had the riots in Oregon, it was very clear that Satan was not being afraid to show himself from that point on because of those riots that I saw. I was like, oh, wow, this is Satan's really stepping forward. That was like 4 years ago. So that's what I really wanted to talk about. You know, that $1 trillion is all steps the communists are using to take America down.
Well, you know, in 1957, I shared this often because I remember I was only probably 6 years old and I watched Nikita Khrushchev through an interpreter say, "We will bury you." Now, I thought that was pretty weird. This was the same time when he took his shoe off and he was banging on the table. Very, very weird. You know, shows up in a limousine. Meanwhile, the Russian people are so poor. The only thing they can afford is vodka to stay stoned so they won't worry about all of it. They began a plan to infiltrate our schools, our colleges, our seminaries, city, state, local governments, everywhere they could have influence to tweak people. And it's been a tremendous success. We went from an educational system, how to think to what to think, the dumbing down of America. We've all heard it. The what to think is they tell you what to think. Don't question anybody. Well, the problem is that's not education. How to think is. That's where you look at all the evidence and you come to your own conclusions. So in other words, let me give you a good point how this works. All right, evolution. Evolution in what to think is it's true. Don't question it. We have this chart by Darwin, the monkey standing upright and the Piltdown man and all that. Oh, and that's what we are taught to think. However, how to think is different, because how to think would look at all that and then they would present, however, there are no factual evidence for evolution. There's no living animals being transitory or transitory or modifying. You don't find that. You don't find that in the fossil records. Where are the fossil records of a horse turning into a giraffe? There aren't any. This is the problem. Well, where are the millions and millions of fossils of monkeys turning into humans? It's not there. There should be millions of them. And alive today. Hey, look, Joe's trading up, man. But you don't find it. See, this is the problem. So when you look at the facts, you go, I don't think that's true. I think that that would maybe leave an opening for maybe another explanation. Now, whether that might be UFOs drop people off or there was a God that created everything, that's the difference. But what to think? You believe what we tell you, don't ask questions. And this is what's happened in our school system. America is bad. It's bad. And communism is good. And you have, like in Washington State, them putting up statues, tearing down Christopher Columbus, but putting up statues of Joseph Stalin. What does that tell you? There's issues. What to think has been a tremendous success in the dumbing down of America, because now we no longer can logically work through our thoughts, but we're just programmed. And that's the problem, friends, that we find. And there is your big issues. And so when they tell us that everything that they're saying is true, well, this is what the American news media has been doing to America in keeping America dumbed down. When you look at these alphabet networks and you go, my goodness, they're not telling us the truth about what was really going on. All this immigration stuff, now finding out they were getting Social Security, free cell phones, free housing, free. It's not free, friends. Your tax dollars paying for it. And the American news media lied to all of us. No wonder they're going broke. And thank God they are. Go and don't come back. They're deceiving us. But see, deceit is in, because here's the problem. When you're taught what to think rather than how to think, their reality becomes truth. And that's the problem. So your idea of truth is not true. So therefore, there is no truth. It's how you look at it. And that's relativism. And that's what's being taught to our poor kids in school today. Mike, your thoughts.
Yeah, well, when you're saying that, I think education needs to be overhauled, at least in classical education, which some people are turning to. It's only the first 5 years or so of education where you're taught to just acquire facts. By at least age 11, they want to teach you how to think critically, how to reason, how to work through how an argument is made and how things make sense. And like you say, how to think. And I think that's why you have people bailing out on schooling, at least government schools, public schools, because it is a dispensing of facts, and they're not even very good at that all the way through.
And they're not, and they're false facts. That's the problem.
That's true. And in classical education, at least by the time you get to age 15 or 14, you're being taught how to persuade, how to speak, how to persuade others, but not until you learn how to reason. And that's the problem today. There's a lot of influencers on all kinds of social media that have become good at trying to persuade people, but they don't know how to think critically. And I guess that's what you're getting to, Mike. We don't have critical thinking anymore. We need research. We need logic. We need to be able to look at facts and assess them and see if an argument it follows, right? The problem of non sequiturs, we see it all the time, and we don't think about the consequences of ideas. And so, yeah, we need to rethink what we're doing with our public schooling today and see if we can't provide some alternatives.
Does that answer your question for you, Dale?
Well, that really wasn't. You gave me more than I needed because I already knew that part, which you already said, because I've experienced it. I've watched it happen as I grew up. So I just wanted to make sure people understood and knew about Chris Bauer's documentary Agenda, because if you haven't seen it and you're out there wondering why it's all going wrong, that agenda makes it very clear. And one part of the documentary, it shows him pulling out a book from one a library. It's by Karl Marx. In the very beginning of it, it gets a foreword, and it says, "I dedicate this book to Satan."
Mm.
That's all I have to say.
Well, we realize that, yeah, there's, you know, just as you said earlier, Mike, you know, the devil hates America, because we have exported more missionaries around the world than any other country. But the problem is that when we understand that there is the underworld against us, and when I see the party that allows, see, for communism to succeed, the three principal keys are destroy patriotism. America is bad. You know, Thomas Jefferson had slaves, you know, all this. Never mind all the good he did, and that we all learn from the mistakes of our past. No, they don't do that in school. They just report how bad America is. And this is why you find all the goofy school stuff. I believe that the national education, all of it needs to be completely scrapped and redone and go back to real American history, not this liberal communist stuff that is now in all of our textbooks. And it is, friends. My kids bring home stuff, and I go, what in the world is this? So then we look at the next. Destroy patriotism. Destroy the family. Oh, that's the number one, because the family is the backbone of a nation. And if you can destroy the family, then everything fragments, because there's not another generation coming up. And look at the contribution that Hollywood has made to help destroy America. They're all liberals there. How many of them said, oh, if Trump gets elected, I'm moving to Venezuela or whatever they, wherever they're going to go. Trump got elected. Guess what? I think only one or two out of the dozens and dozens that say they're going to are going to leave. They're hypocrites. Isn't it interesting? They all get together in a room called the Academy Awards, the Emmy Awards, and they reward each other for the biggest liar, the biggest actor. Who's the best actor? Well, that's really interesting that they're rewarding themselves on being an actor. Do you know what an actor is? A liar. You're not really who you are. You're portraying somebody else. And the one that's the best liar gets the golden statue. Wow. Now that's America. No, it shows how we're being misled. And of course, we have attack on the family. We have attack on patriotism. And then the attack on faith, on God. You see, the state will supply all your needs. In Russia, it's the state that gives you everything you want. Isn't it interesting that the democratic phrase was that in 5 years, or what was it, 4 years, 3 years, you will own nothing and be happy, right out of Karl Marx. And people are going, oh, that sounds so good. Do you think our politicians are going to have nothing? When you look and see, when these people come into office, they're only worth maybe $500,000-$800,000, and they leave office billionaires. Friends, there's something wrong. The people starve while they enrich themselves. I don't know, Mike, your thoughts.
Yeah, well, you've certainly hit something there with just the simple observation of how our lawmakers are becoming multimillionaires just by doing a job that doesn't pay enough for them to become multimillionaires. We've got to be careful with career politicians. And of course, there's a lot that needs to change. But we pray for one election at a time. And I hope everyone is certainly voting in an intelligent way in their local elections. And we need people that care about the truth and represent what is true locally and then on into national elections as well. But there's a lot of corruption. We see that. We know that. And it started with a whole discussion about Karl Marx and neo-Marxism in our philosophy of schooling all the way down into elementary school, not to mention high school and college, is everywhere. It started so much of what's causing trouble today. And we need to know when we read it, when we see it, and root it out.
Yep. It's like cancer, and it just continues to grow. Well, we're all out of time. Dale, stay online. Send you out some books, some DVDs. Mike, thank you so much for being on. Always appreciate your wisdom and your perspective, being a pastor for so many years. Thanks for being on CSN as well. And if you didn't get on today, please call us. We'll put you on first thing tomorrow. Until then, God bless you. Good night.
Today's program, please call 1-800-357-4226 or write us to Every Man and Answer, P.O. Box 391, Twin Falls, Idaho, 83303. That toll-free number is 1-800-357-4226. Subscribe to the free podcast on iTunes by searching for To Every Man an Answer in the iTunes store or visit us online at csnradio.com/TEMA. To Every Man an Answer is a production of CSN International, the Christian Satellite Network. The opinions expressed by our guests may or may not be those of CSN International or of this station.